Hey, 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 it's your girl. Just call me J. Nicole. And this bookcast is about none other than why, yours truly. But most importantly, it's about life with my bookends. So who are or what are my bookends, you may ask? They're my wonderfully talented two sons, also known as my heart and my heartbeat. Without them, life just was incomplete. And I know a lot of people are like, but one of the biggest things that I desired in life was to become a mother. And at 18, I was told that there was a slim to none chance that that would even happen. So when God bestowed them upon me, they made my life complete. And they hold me upright. They give me perspective on what life is and what I should be doing in life. They actually give me purpose each and every day. And because of them, I now have this podcast to share with you the day in the life of the Walkers, or more specifically, the day in the life of Just Call Me J. Nicole and life with my bookends. Hey, 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 it's your girl. Just call me J. Nicole, and I'm coming to you with yet another episode. So, school's back in, and I'm dealing with a lot of kids who are from all different types of walk of life. Their home life is different in each and every household. And what I am learning more and more each day is acceptance. And I come into the classroom with more of a motherly style and motherly role. And today I had two instances in the same day, but thankfully not during the same class period. So as I share with you guys, I am a special education teacher, which in middle school here in Georgia, you are in a co-taught classroom setting, which means there are both a gen ed teacher and a special ed teacher in the classroom. I won't say each classroom because we do have some classrooms where it's just a gen ed teacher or they're just a special ed teacher in the classroom. So in the co-taught classrooms that I'm in, the first incident that occurred today was with one of my students who has an emotional behavior disorder, or EBD for short. And what I noticed is that this gentleman, he's not adapting to being back in school, first and foremost. And I can't blame him. My sleep habits from the summer are still spilling over into the school year. My refrigerator is still bare because we ate out a lot. We slept late. And by the time we got up, it was like lunchtime, and we would probably like grab something quick to buy a quick bite to eat rather and just keep moving with our day. We snacked a lot. It wasn't like meals, like sit down at the table and your mom's cooked a full meal. It was just like bits and pieces here or there. But nonetheless, I can tell that he's having a hard time getting adjusted to being back in school on a rigorous schedule. And to top it off, I'm expecting him to work. But I had to go into mother mode because another thing that as a mom I recognize is that he was just a brat. He did not want to be told what to do. And so I had to sort of deal with him like a mom, like get your butt in gear and get this work done, okay? And I hate being that teacher who has to constantly like email parents and reach out and give them a phone call. But I will do it in a heartbeat. The other incident was I watched a extremely frustrated young man
who actually valued his education have an outburst when the teacher said something about the way that he was handling a particular situation. And this young man proceeded to walk through class stomping, puffed out cheeks, and I could tell he was on the verge of tears because he was just so upset. And he was like throwing out his paper and everything. He just needed to release it. And while I brought my voice up, in mommy mode. It was not as a directive teacher mode. It was as mommy mode, like, get your butt over here. Let me see what's going on with you. And I brought him to me. Well, I had him to come to me, rather. And I looked him in the eyes. I said, look at me in the eyes. And I talked to him. I'm like, don't allow someone to steal that joy that you had just a moment ago. Don't let them get you here. I was like, take a couple of deep breaths and, you know, let's calm down so you can tell me what happened. And of course, he was still heated a little bit, which was to be expected. And he snapped again. I'm like, hold on. Let's not turn around. Let's talk to the audience. Just talk to me. It's just me and you here. Okay? He said, talk to me. And I found out what was going on and that while he was over at his station, trying his best to get his work done, there was one kid who was off task, and not completely off task, but instead of him using the resources that, excuse me guys, I had to yawn there. Instead of him using the resources that everybody else had, he wanted to rely on his classmates and be lazy. And wanted his teammates, his classmates to provide him with the answers instead of him looking for it. And my poor kiddo was trying to, like, look, dude, we're all trying to do the same thing. It's right here on the screen. Like, just look. Look right here. The answer's there. But he was so frustrated because my co-teacher reprimanded him because they kept talking and they had gone on red, which means silence. But once I got him calm, he was able to communicate with me, like, what happened. And I talked to him, and I'm like, okay, the next time something like that happens, come get me or the other teacher. That's why we're here. We're here to, one, keep things in order. Two, if you have gotten to a point of, you're so frustrated and someone's stealing your joy and feeding you negative energy, it's time for you to seek help. For the previous gentleman I was telling you about, a lot of people will place labels on people because it's easier to slap a label on them versus doing what I did with the other kid, which is stop, listen, and try to find out what's going on. Now, true indeed, the other kid does have a disability. True indeed, this kid is still a brat. But even children who have disabilities, just like people who have disabilities, you can feed their fire in a negative way, and you can exacerbate what really is going on with them, and they can play victim. That's just like we see how people are kind-hearted in the world, especially to those who are less fortunate. And it turns out that some people take advantage of our kind-heartedness. And instead of them really being those people who are out on the street, who are homeless, they're people who are just panhandling and they driving Maseratis. I know that's far-fetched, but they're living the lap of luxury, but they are living it on everyone else's dime by perpetuating who they really are, pretending that they're something that they're not. And it is society who make or break a lot of people. I'm a huge advocate for children. I'm a huge advocate for people who have disabilities, who are fighting for their lives because of critical and terminal illnesses. And what I hate to see is those people in those categories who literally are using their categories in the wrong fashion. They use their labels, and I will say this, when I was in a cast and I actually had to use a scooter, not the motorized scooter. I was not riding around and getting like somebody's grandma. I had the little, you know, push scooter because I had broken my toe and I had a cast up to my knee because I had to have surgery, pins inserted and all that good stuff. So I couldn't walk on it for a matter of weeks, almost about a month. But I enjoyed that handicap sticker. I call it my VIP access card because I got to sit in premium parking areas. You know, when you're a shopper and you're trying to find like a close parking space because you walk the mall, but you don't want to have to walk the parking lot after you've shopped all day. Sad, but true. Just being honest here, it's about transparency. And even after the fact, I was like, you know, well, you know, if people just see it in the thing, they're not going to like, look. And I had to catch myself and be like, girl, you are blessed to have two legs, two feet that you can walk on and you can get around and you're an able-bodied person. And you're just manipulating the fact that you had been temporarily labeled as someone with a disability. How many of us are really like walking around out here who, you know, like I remember using the fact that I'm asthmatic to get out of PE. I hated PE. And I just hated what PE consisted of. I wanted to just sit there and be sociable. I didn't want to have to dress out in front of people who I didn't know. And that kind of thing. But there are literally people out here who have these small disabilities, and I won't say small disabilities, but the small disability like what I had, where I only needed this parking decal for a temporary situation, but I tried to milk it as long as I could. My husband had hernia repair surgery a couple of years ago, and I remember, and I can laugh now because it's still hilarious because he'll say stuff like that to this day where he's like, oh, I can't do that because you remember they told me that I couldn't live because, you know, of my hernia, you know, it can mess up how they repaired it. You know, my hernia. I mean, guys, if he could get out of doing something, he did using my hernia. And in general, people are just finding excuses, and it oftentimes is a label that they feel like they need to put on themselves or other people. Another example that I can think of is men will say that quickly about certain behaviors or certain actions, look, style, whatever the case may be. When I was dealing with bouts of disability, look at you guys. When I was dealing with my bout of infidelity from my husband, my grandmother's like, you know, all men cheat. I'm like, hold the phone. I don't think that's what it really is all about. It's not, I don't care. It was one of those mommy moments where your mom is like, if everybody jumped off of a bridge with you, I'm like, just because one person did it does not mean that everybody will do it. Let's not lump people into the same category just because they are the same gender. I don't think all men cheat. I think everybody's capable of cheating. But does every man cheat? Probably not. Probably not. I will never know. I'm not going to go out here and survey them. But the fact that she wanted to slap a label of who cheats as being a thing that men do, all men do, is just another cop-out. It's not a disability. It's just a cop-out. We'll label anything. We will label anything. Again, we will label anything down to politics, guys. And I won't even go into it. Just know we will label anything. And we label it to our advantage and put somebody else at a disadvantage or to uplift someone or to edify things. Another heartbreaking thing that I am dealing with right now, and I won't say heartbreaking, but it is heartbreaking for me because I'm a mom and I understand. I have a very close girlfriend who's going through some news that will, if you're a parent, it's hard to take. She is finding out that there is some development delays with her child, and no parent wants to hear that. Every parent thinks that their child is golden, and especially if you're doing everything that you feel like you need to do to make sure that your child is a successful person in life, when you hear that something's wrong with your child, it feels like you failed your kid. And as a parent to a child who had disabilities, I was extremely protective of him. I was probably overly protective of him. I shifted him away from people who were filling me with negativity that was about him. And he turned out just fine. But I know what she's going through right now. And I know how hard it is to navigate through, like, what you need to do because you need to go here for this kind of testing and this evaluation and that kind of thing. And where you thought your kid performed really well, you're finding out that he or she is, they're not, you know, hitting the mark. They are having difficulty with specific things and everything. So my heart goes out to her. And the hardest part of it all is the label that people want to attach to whatever it is that's wrong with your kid. And in my case, they wanted to label my son with ADHD and anxiety. I accepted the label only because after being extremely educated by who is now a friend of the family, but then his teacher, I understand that this label will help him in the long run because it was sort of like when you go to the grocery store and you're saying, I need something with low sodium, you would not want to pick something up that did not have low sodium. You want to pick up the right item. And so that's how it was for him. I had to learn is that if people knew that he had ADHD and anxiety, they made sure that they had his attention when they were given classroom instructions. They knew that he may need to be prompted a little bit more to be on task. Those kind of things. But still, it was hard. And while he made great progress, I mean, leaps and bounds. And as I shared with you guys, he's now a professional athlete of sorts. It shows that not all labels last. But we're quick to put a label on anything. Even in my new vegan lifestyle, I'm actually more pescatarian than I am vegan. I try to cut out some things. It doesn't work. We still have to be careful. As vegetarians, I know for a fact, I saw where, try to think of what it was, post about a food item. And they're saying, be careful about this because I belong to 100 million different groups on Facebook that are for vegans. But they're like, be careful because if you go to this particular restaurant and you order this, it's not completely vegan because it has dairy on it. The label vegan is, it has so many different facets of being vegan. You can be completely vegan where you just eat raw fruits and vegetables. You don't process your food. You don't cook your foods. You can be pescatarian like myself where I still eat seafood. And I will even consume dairy. And dairy is by far one of the hardest things for me to get rid of. I like cheese and butter in particular. Butter just gives great flavor. Cheese, if you love cheese, then you understand. And if I can probably get rid of everything else, but those are the two things that I pretty much love. And they're just about in everything. So, but those labels, you see how that label can be picked apart? It goes to anything in life. You can put a label on there. Somebody else may label a different way. Somebody else label that same thing a different way. But what does it really mean? Why are we so consumed by the labels? Period. Does the label really have that much weight on how you look at someone or something before you actually get a chance to know what that thing is? Like, as soon as I tell people I'm vegan, or, oh, this meal is vegan, prime example, I'm so glad I came back to that. During my transition into being meatless, when I made the announcement to my household, my kids are like, okay, cool, all right, mom, whatever. But my husband, as soon as he heard vegan, was like, can't you give up anything else? Why you got to give up meat? And I was like, it's just, I'm still going to be able to cook. I'm going to be vegan. I didn't say anything about you. I would still provide meals. And I do. I still cook meat for my family. My husband actually, he comes to me. He defers all meat cooking questions to the vegan wife. How about that? But yeah, you don't want me to provide you with vegan options, period. And the ironic part about it is, before becoming vegan, I used meatless crumbles just because it was super duper easy with our lifestyle. And if I would forget to take out the ground meat, that would just like halt all dinner cooking plans. And my least favorite things to do in life is go grocery shopping and fold clothes. So if I forgot to thaw out the ground meat, that meant that I had to go to the grocery store. And I'm like, I don't want to go. So my mom hit me to the whole meatless crumbles. And guess what? I have been using meatless crumbles for decades. But as soon as I told him that I was vegan, using that fake meat, and I'm like, I've been using the same meat for over 10 years now with you. Whenever I make spaghetti, that's what you're eating. It's what you're eating, boo. Just let you know. But it's so funny. Like, the label is what makes people look at people different. Makes you look at my fake meat different. But you've been eating it the whole time. You've been in a classroom with this kid who you just thought was a brat, but now, because you know what his label is, you treat him a little bit different. You see a kid act a fool in class, and instead of you saying, okay, come here, sir, let's sit down and have a conversation, what's going on with you, and finding out what's really going on with the kid, you just label them as bad. Labels. They should only be on clothes to tell you how to clean them. And that's about it. So guys, I know I've gone on and on, but that was something that was like really on my heart. How those two kiddos, literally like similar in positions in life. They're both in the same grade. They're both relatively the same age. And I say relatively because it's like 6 months difference, I believe, or a couple months difference. And both of them were very upset. And one sort of got a pass because of a label, and the other person was being labeled because of their behavior. We gotta stop it. And we really need to start thinking and responding appropriately to people's behaviors. And this goes out to the fact that there were several mass shootings over the course of this week, I think actually over the weekend. And I saw a write-up saying how, you know, one of the shooters, he had an absentee father and blah, blah, blah. But the gentleman was white, and I hate to talk about race. But even in my two students' cases, the one who had a label is white. The one who has been labeled is black. In our world today, we're quick to allow race to actually play a huge part in labeling people. Label them even down to the point of calling them a victim versus a criminal. And they're doing the same things. They're committing the same crimes. We got to step back. One call a thing, but get to know these people. That black kid who committed the same crime that that white kid did is living the same mess that that white kid did. And nobody gave him grace and mercy. They only gave that white kid grace and mercy. The black kid is being faced with life in prison or something horrific like that. It could very well happen to my two students. My white student can be given a, you know, swift kick in the pants and said, okay, don't do this anymore. And then my black student be labeled as a misfit, as a lowlife, as someone who's never going to amount to anything, because we're quick to label our black men like that at a very young age. Great morale to give them, right? That label that they carry becomes extremely heavy. So heavy. And then sometimes they succumb to it, while others press through and say, okay, I'm going to prove them wrong. But and nevertheless, that white boy, he got a swift kick in the pants. And whenever he messes up in life again, guess what? People pick him up, dust him off, and say, you know, he don't have a daddy, and his mom, she works all these jobs, and she, I mean, they come, look at the neighborhood they live in. Look at the so-and-so, look at the, everything is a label. What are you labeling in your life that should not be labeled? What have you labeled today in particular? I will say that. What could you have done differently before labeling something that would have avoided the labeling, if that makes sense? Like in my situation, instead of calling this kid a bad kid, I was like, something's wrong. I stopped that label. The other kid, I said, he has a label, but I still need to get to know this kid because there's still something wrong. I did not allow the label to hinder me from getting to know that kid, nor did I create a label because I wasn't trying to get to know that kid. We need to walk into the world allowing ourselves to get to know one another before we slap these labels on it. How much better would the world be? So I'm going to get off of this deep dive that I took you guys on, but I just thought I'd share that with you guys. Life lessons right in the classroom. Who said that what you learn in school can't be applied to real life? And so until next time, guys, keep up with me on social media. I'm on Instagram at Just Call Me Jay Nicole, and that's JustCallMe, the letter J, NicoLe. I'm also on Twitter at 2WillConfirm. Again, that's the number 2, the word will, and the word confirm. And as always, drop me a line, give me some topics to talk about, feedback. Let me know if you want to be on my podcast by emailing me at justcallmejnicole@gmail.com. Until next time, you guys, this is Just Call Me J. Nicole, and I am out.